Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are so excited to see you all here this morning. I know we have some visitors today, and we just want to say welcome. And thanks for trying out Second B. We'd love to get to know you and say hello. And if you'd like to let us know that you were here, there's a little barcode on the back that you can scan. Little one over here. And just let us know that you were here and let us know your name, and we will welcome you sometime this week. We're glad you are here. I'm glad you guys are here online joining us as well, wherever you are. Thank you for being part of our worship service this morning as well. Friends, we have a lot going on this week at church. Please remember that this Wednesday night is our Ash Wednesday service. Already it's here. So we'll have dinner out here in the Grand Hall, and you can sign up for that supper online, and then we'll come in here for the 6 p.m. worship service. We will have childcare for our littles if they come, and any school age and youth children that would like to participate in the service, we'd love for them to be part of it with us as well. And then the very following day, we start with our Lenten Lunches series. So please come back if you can at noon every Thursday for the next 6 weeks. And we would love to have you as part of our series. We'll have a speaker here that'll give us about 10, 15 minutes, a great message. And then we'll have sandwiches and soups and just hang out together around the tables and get to see each other during the day. So we would love to have you here with us. And with that comes Easter. After that, 6 weeks. So we're collecting eggs already. Our bin is out, and we are going to have Easter extravaganza on Saturday, April the 1st, and we welcome all of you back. It's a huge Easter egg hunt out there on the East Lawn, and we need tons of eggs, and you guys do a great job every year. So please start collecting those stuffed candy Easter eggs that you find at the store. You can drop them off anytime between now and April 1st, and our kids will love to be a part of that. We'll have a bounce house and food truck. It'll be a fun afternoon for us. And now I have very important news for you, a bit sad, a bit joyful altogether. Our sweet Casey Logsdon has been here as our interim worship director for the past 6 to 8 months, I think, and she has found a job, and she is being pulled away from Second B all the way to Connecticut. March the 5th will be her last Sunday with us, and I am deeply sad, but I am so very excited for her because they are blessed to have her. We have been, y'all, our worship services have been so beautiful for the past several months, and we are so grateful for you, Casey, and very proud. And we're not saying goodbye yet. We're just saying congratulations and yay. Let's just appreciate Casey. Now I invite you with me to just be still, take a moment. Let's prepare for this beautiful worship service that we have for today. Take a minute and take a deep breath with me. The Lord be with you. And now, as you're able, I invite you to stand for the call to worship this morning. God, you bring us together in this place. We come to be fed, to be renewed, to seek understanding.
God,
God, you are revealed in this place, sometimes in shining glory, sometimes in tears and struggle.
God, as you worship in this place, refresh, renew, and challenge us, that we see your awesomeness.
We pray in Jesus' name as we strive to walk the path of discipleship. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. God, we glorify your name. We are so honored this morning to sing your praises, to worship your son, Jesus. We thank you for the light that you shine on all of us, Lord. Allow that light to shine through us and onto others, God. We praise you when we are high. We praise you when we are low. And we thank you for being with us every step of the way. God, allow us to hear your voice today and to feel your presence in this place. Be with these children who will sing today, Lord. Allow them to speak to the congregation. In your most holy name I pray. Amen. Boys and girls, if you are singing with us this morning, I invite you to come to the stage. I'd like to invite the rest of the boys and girls who'd like to come to children's time. Please come up and sit with us on the stage. We'd love for you to join us. Welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming up for children's time with us. We have some new friends. I'm so glad y'all are here. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming. You're going to be perfect for this message today, so I'm glad you're here. Just exactly what you're doing right now. Boys and girls, today is a word, a church service. It's a big word. It's called transfiguration. Can you say that word? Transfiguration. Does anyone care to define it for me? All week long, I've been saying transfiguration, transfiguration. Guess what? We're not going to define it. We're not going to give a definition. We're going to talk about some really cool things about it. You know, my favorite part, let's keep our feet real still. There you go, so that we can hear the words. One of my favorite parts about our scripture reading today, I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what our children do all the time. When Jesus and his friends are up on a mountain, this really, 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 really bright light happens, right? This really, really, really bright light. And I think about this bright light surrounding Jesus, and I thought, well, that's all we need to talk about, is this light. Those of you who just sang a minute ago, your bright light was shining right around you for all of these people. You, when you came up to the stage and you were doing that sweet little smile with your glasses on, your whole bright light is shining right through you. And what I want you to know about today's lesson is that Jesus's light shone for all around so that we could see this love coming out of Jesus for all of you and for all of these people here. And you guys do it the best. You guys, when you come up to us this morning, Eva was sharing her Fruit Loops with me right here after I prayed, hopping off the stage. She was shining her light with me first thing this morning and with some people out in the grand hall. You guys come up and you run up and you give us hugs and you show us your shoes and you tell us about your week and you tell us about your day and you give love freely. And that is what I want us to know about today's lesson, is that Jesus was ready to spread his love to everyone that came in contact, and he wanted his disciples to do that too. And you guys are his disciples, spreading the love of Jesus here in the church, at your school, with people you've never ever met before, and you come and you share your love with us. And we can't say thank you enough for who you are and for what you do for this church and for everyone you meet. Thank you for teaching us how to share the love of Jesus. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much. Change us so that we can be more like you. Walk with us. Help us to grow. Help these children to grow in your light and to shine for others. We love you so much. In your most holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay, if we're going to preschool praise, we're going to walk back this way. Otherwise, you may sit with your parents. Let's go, Thomas.
Our Hebrew scripture comes from Exodus 24, 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders, he said, "Wait here for us until we come back for you. Look, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up to the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to receive this prayer from the cloud of unknowing. Let's pray together. To you, O God, every heart stands open and every will speaks. There is no secret that is hidden from you. And so we ask that you might purify our intentions, our hearts, by the gift of your grace, that we might love perfectly, that we might love like you and praise you worthily. In the name of the Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Gospel reading is from Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Like to thank you for joining with us for worship. You are a gift. Your voice, your face, your presence, your song is just, it's the primary way that I know that Christ is risen, that Christ is Savior, is you. So thank you for sharing your time and your presence with us today. If there's any way we can be of help to you, I invite you to use those cards available. And you can place them in the, or you can place them wherever you want. We'll pass an offering plate later. Weren't we crazy? Want to join with Pastor Cheryl and all of you in thanking Casey. It has just been a joy and a gift to get to know you and to serve with you. And I'm so grateful that you've shared your many gifts with our congregation. I'm a little mad at Christ Church Greenwich, but I'll get over it, maybe. We'll celebrate Casey next week. We'll have including this Sunday, we have three more. I don't like that timeline one bit at all, by the way, but we'll have this Sunday and then two more in addition to this Sunday together with her. So we'll try to celebrate her, especially next Sunday. I did see the light that Pastor Cheryl was talking about earlier in the children's sermon. I saw the light this morning. It was red and it was blue and it was coming from a police car behind me in the church parking lot. And Eva was like, "What is going on?" And I was like, "What is going on?" And I confess to you, my registration sticker is very badly out of date. And I confess many other broken things too. Anyways, I have never been so tempted. In my years of ministry, I've never been so tempted to use the Sunday school hour to rewrite the sermon about. Anyways, that being said, can I borrow some money? Would you just take a moment and join with me and just breathe? Breathe in the joy of God's presence. Breathe in the wisdom that doesn't forget. Amen. The Transfiguration is a weird story. It really is, and I thrive with weird. You know, I'm very good with awkward and strange. So that's kind of my space. That's my jam. You know, so you know, and I enjoy gray. I enjoy the gray. I think most of life is gray. There's a lot of beauty in gray. There are some aspects of our scripture that are less gray. truths and concepts that our scripture really sets out from the beginning until the end to try to give it at least a little bit of clarity to. So, you know, our scriptures begin proclaiming God as creator, continuing to suggest that God is the rescuer, that God delivers. We continue even further into the New Testament, and we learn that God is love. And it's nice in a world of gray, in a life of gray, it's nice to have, you know, a little bit of clarity at times. I think the scriptures suggest with a fair amount of clarity, and we can take some assurance, and the church has worked through these in different ways throughout the last 2,000 years to try to put statements and readings and creeds, even if you will, to these things. It suggests that Christ really is the God who is with us, the God in flesh. Christ in John's gospel begins that suggesting that Christ is this wisdom, this logos in which all of creation is founded upon. As we continue through the story, Christ is presented as healer. Christ is presented as teacher, and eventually Christ as savior. It's nice sometimes to have some clarity, something you can really dig your heels into. And the scripture is admittedly less clear about the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit, you ask? I too ask this. What is the Holy Spirit? You know, Scripture sort of describes the Holy Spirit as the breath of God, the wind of God, sort of that capacity that assures us of the presence of God. I think further, the Spirit is presented in Scripture and in our own experience as sort of this life of force. Put all three together on Trinity Sunday, of which I'm thrilled that it is not. Scripture also doesn't give us a ton of clarity and a ton of certainty as to how these three fit into one so perfectly and beautifully. And although I believe that the Transfiguration is a weird story, it's not weird, it's not strange in that what it suggests about the Christ. The Christ here is transfigured, appearing, lifted up, risen, wrapped in light, as the Psalms say. The Christ appearing beside Elijah and Moses, representing the continuation and even the fulfillment of this work that God had been about through the Hebrew people from Genesis 1 and 1. The Transfiguration is not strange in what it says about the Christ. It is very strange, this Peter person. You know, one of the fun things about the Bible is if you come from a dysfunctional family, and you all come from dysfunctional families, you know, you can read the story of our scriptures, you know, and sometimes I'm like, you know what? My family's not that dysfunctional. This Peter is an interesting person. I very much enjoy Peter throughout the Gospels, particularly maybe because I am a bit of a Peter. I'm not a Paul, you know, that great writer, that great mind. I'm not a Lazarus, that great friend, that great love. You know, I think I'm Peter, just adventures of missing the point, you know. And here is Peter at one of the neatest moments in all of human history, you know. And he says to the Christ, as Jesus is transfigured, Peter just kind of hops in. He's always stream of consciousness, always open mouth, insert foot. I'm very accustomed to the flavor myself. And Peter says, let's just stay here. Let's build a tent and stay here. And what is so interesting, and thank you, Steve, for reading and sharing your voice with us this morning. So interesting, as Peter is saying, you know, it's good for us to stay here, he's interrupted. The very Lord, the God's own self said, I'm not listening to any more of this guy. Look, this is the Christ, the beloved, the one whom I am so well pleased, the one whom we should all follow. God doesn't even have any time to listen to Peter's rambling. It's so very interesting. Peter wants to stay here, But we can't stay here. I don't think we were intended or designed to stay right here. Interestingly, the story just jumps strangely to Jesus leading them down the mountain. And interestingly here, Jesus says to the disciples, Peter and James and John, the sort of three of the closer friends of Jesus, and Jesus says to them, don't tell anyone what you saw and heard up here. Isn't that interesting? I grew up in a religious tradition in which we got to tell everybody. And I'm all for telling everyone. I think the best definition of the word evangelism is telling that which is good, telling the good story. And the good story, I imagine, for me, is similar to the good story for you. It includes a lot of pain. It includes a lot of hurt. It includes a lot of joy. Yeah, telling the good story. Jesus says, don't tell them anything. And in the religious tradition I grew up in, because I didn't tell everyone, right? Then it elicited shame and guilt because I didn't tell all of the people. And this is known in sort of theology and biblical studies as the messianic secret. It's probably one of the bigger themes actually in the Gospel of Mark. The other Gospels pick up on this, but time and again, people encounter the Christ. They're healed. They see this miracle, and Jesus says to them, don't tell. Don't tell them what you've seen. That's just so fascinating to me. And I think in part, and you can read up on the messianic secret, but I think in part what the Christ is saying here to Peter, James, and John was like, sometimes there's something that's just for us. Sometimes the God, the divine, just wants to encounter you and share an experience with you that isn't intended to be shared with anyone else. And obviously there came a point later in which they shared this story and it was included in the collection that we call these Gospels. But I hope you receive that as a gift today. That I really believe that God sees you, God smiles when the divine thinks of you, and that there are times and spaces and experiences where God just wants to experience you. And we don't have to tell anybody a thing about it. I mean, what a gift. It's interesting. Peter wants to stay, and they're led. I don't know, maybe you've been following. It's a very interesting story in our country, the story of what's taking place in Asbury. In Kentucky, a college and a seminary, United Methodist. I know we've got some of those folks amongst us. We're an inclusive community. But I think it was on February 8th, a chapel service there at Asbury. It just kept going. Kind of like this sermon. It just kept going. It was college students meeting together and worshiping together, and they are still going. It was known currently under the very general name, the Asbury Revival. And people, well, the college students, they got a little tired of it, so they kind of stopped. But other people came, and they kept worshiping, and they have been worshiping and worshiping. As I understand, it's very simple. It's very meaningful, but it's not a bunch of light shows and all that sort of stuff. It's just a time of prayer and worship and song. As I understand, there's not much preaching, which maybe you would prefer that. But eventually, and this is true throughout history, the Azusa Pacifica revival or the Great Awakening, all these revivals, there comes a point, and even though you've experienced this mountaintop sort of experience, there comes a point where you gotta go. We're not designed to stay here on the mountaintop, be it good, or we're also not designed to stay in our darkest valley. And Psalm 23rd Psalm is absolutely just beautiful. God is with us through, very important preposition. God is with us through our darkest valley. We're not designed to be up on top, and we're not designed to be down. Where then are we designed to be? I'm glad you, I think that's a great question. I think for me, I spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of time with like clean clothes spread everywhere throughout our house, on the table, on the couch. We spend a lot of time doing dishes in the ordinary, in the day, in the domestic. This is neither a mountaintop nor is this our darkest valley. And I think in some sense, this is what the Christ is doing, leading the disciples down this mountain, back to that which is daily, back to that which is maybe even most sacred. I encountered a word from Nadia Boltz-Weber that really encouraged my soul, and it reminded me of Peter, and I wanted to share it with you as we close. As you know, Nadia Boltz-Weber is a pastor, writer, thinker, a Lutheran. She's a tattoo aficionado. I've been here for 5 years asking for people to get a tattoo of something I've said. We haven't gotten there yet, but maybe one day. Boltz-Weber was actually reflecting on just how incredibly difficult it is, probably for all of us, to wrap our minds around the tragedy taking place in Turkey and Syria. Just the numbers are just, and we continue to pray and lament and hope. But Boltz-Weber suggested something, three questions. And she said, it is good for us to ask three questions of ourselves. What is mine to do? What is mine to say? And what is mine to care for? And as I reflect on Peter here at the mountaintop, and as well throughout sort of his life as it is at least portrayed in our Gospels, Peter would answer those questions this way. What is mine to say? Everything. What is mine to do? Also everything. And what is mine to care for? All the things, everywhere, all the time, everything. And I don't think that's a spiritually healthy way to live. We live in this world, right? Where there seems to be so much pressure even to just post online what you had for dinner. And I'm all about it. I'm hungry right now. But I don't want you to feel pressured to do that. Obligated to do that, expected to do that. What is mine to do? And remember, some things that we do, it's just between me and the Lord and no one else. And that's good. What is mine to do? What is mine to say? We don't have to say all the things. There are some things, however, there are some things that might be yours to say. And I hope you shoot your shot. I hope you say it. And in this world in which the information can be overwhelming, in this world, yes, in which there is so much tragedy, what is mine to care for? Good and gracious God, hear these our prayers. Amen. You can remain seated. Thank you.
Holy God, we come before you today having experienced your presence in a beautiful way. We know that you are here with us. And Lord, we've reached a mountaintop in music and prayer and scripture and sermon, but we're not called to stay here as much as we might like. You don't call us to admire you or adore you. You call us to follow you and to be obedient to you, to listen to your words and to do as you have commanded us, to love. And you lead us from here back down the mountain into the world that needs to know and see your love as we express it with our hands, with our feet, with our mouths. But Lord, we pray and hope that what we do in this world would reflect what we say we know and believe about you. And when we show your love and do your love and works of love in this world, people might think and say, what they say must be true. What they believe must be true. There is a God who truly loves this world. Use our gifts, use our offerings this day, Lord, to be proof of our love for you and to do your work of love in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you. May the peace of Christ be with you, my friends. Let's stand and share in that peace together. What she said.